well. And we move to the sixth case this morning and the last case, U.S. versus Schubert.
Schubert has a musical word.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is J.R. McNair, appointed counsel for defendant appellant Kevin Schubert. This is an appeal from a denial of Mr. Schubert's motion to suppress evidence before the District Court of the Eastern District of Wisconsin. The Fourth Amendment literally reads that no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation. The relevant facts in this case are very simple. The police officer affiant who obtained the warrant didn't swear to any facts himself. He merely attached the unsworn police report authored by another officer as the sole basis for probable cause. The core issues are twofold: whether that process satisfied the Fourth Amendment requirement that probable cause be supported by oath or affirmation, it did not, and whether the Leon exception to the exclusionary rule applies under the circumstances of this case, and it should not. This warrant violates the oath or affirmation requirement. The District Court itself recognized that the sole source of information necessary to establish probable cause was in the unsworn police report. The affiant who applied for the warrant, Officer Johnson, did not swear to any facts supporting probable cause.
Of course, he didn't conceal that either, right? It's pretty clear from the affidavit that was submitted that he's relying totally on what the...
That's correct.
He said his agency reported, right?
That's correct. He said, see attached report for supporting the search warrant.
The vehicle that ultimately was searched could have been searched right there at the scene, couldn't it? Because the officers at the scene were told that your client had put the guns in there.
Well, that was never
briefed. And it is an automobile. Right?
That was never briefed below the district court. And the district judge actually didn't form any opinion on that basis. And he recognized that there were facts that he didn't know about establishing those exceptions.
Well, it doesn't take much. On an automobile search where you've got, is it the ex-wife saying, I saw him put the guns in there and the car's right there?
He said it was at least questionable whether the automobile exception applied, and there was never any briefing on the issue. The government never raised it, and he made sure that it was not the basis of his decision. He only used that information to suggest that the officers had good faith in seeking the warrant. And the officers themselves, they didn't have reason to search. They didn't believe that they could search the car. They respected Schubert's consent in not allowing them to search the car. The car was immobile, and he had been arrested and his car impounded. And he wasn't driving the car. It was in his parking lot. So they obviously respected his expectation of privacy in his car and under these circumstances. And there are not enough facts before the district court to determine whether the exception applied.
Well, it seems like a pretty hypothetical case to me, because if we bought your argument and reversed and sent it back, the judge can easily find automobile search justification, or maybe the government would figure out, as I guess it has in its brief, they could have prosecuted the guy and got the same penalty for the possession of ammunition that they found on his person.
That was not part of his indictment,
right? But the statute of limitations hasn't run on it. And all this, you're asking us to make a pretty broad pronouncement on what I think is kind of a hypothetical case.
Well, I mean, the issue in this case, and it's the issue that the circuit, that the district court addressed, is whether the warrant is valid. And I mean, that's the only issue before this court. The other, well, those other issues were never briefed.
The good faith exception. The officer did go to a judge to get a warrant and was issued a warrant. And all of the information that would support probable cause was there in that police report. There's plenty for probable cause.
But the affiant didn't swear to any facts himself, and he swore
that was the police report.
He swore that he was attaching the police report. That's all he swore to. But that fact does not support probable cause, and the Fourth Amendment requires that probable cause be supported by oath or affirmation. And there, quite frankly, were no facts that support probable cause that were sworn to, and that's something in terms of the good faith exception applying. The good faith exception was made to deter, it was in situations where you're not deterring any behavior on the police officers, that you don't want to encourage them not to get a warrant by punishing them for something that they're not responsible for. But this is a situation where deterrence can have a positive effect, because it makes sure that the person who can swear to facts that support probable cause come forward and swear to the facts that they're aware of before the issuing judge for the warrant. And so it provides the correct incentives to not use another officer as a conduit who has no evidence of any connection to the facts at all to then apply for the warrant.
Under Wisconsin law, can an officer get a telephone warrant?
I believe that there's law in this circuit that you can get a telephone warrant if you can still take an oath.
So the affiant here shows up and the judge says, "Oh, wait a minute, you didn't fill this report out. So and so did. Officer calls so and so, and so and so swears to it."
I think that's a different. That's a situation where there are sworn facts that support probable cause by oath or affirmation, because the person who knows the facts, who collected the evidence, who interviewed the witnesses, is swearing to the facts that support probable cause. And the purpose of the oath or affirmation.
Sure, I see the difference between saying that he, where he got the warrant, and that the circumstance you just described. I mean, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Well,
where
no.
Where the information came from, I guess.
Because nobody took an oath. Nobody took an oath or was impressed upon the fact that of the significance of telling the truth in the situation here. Whereas in that situation, you get somebody on the phone. They're swearing to the facts under oath. The purpose of the oath or affirmation requirement, it's not a technical or a trivial component of the Fourth Amendment. It's designed to protect the truthfulness of information provided in supporting a warrant by impressing the importance of telling the truth, so it's more likely that the person applying for the warrant will tell the truth, and also subjecting that person to the penalty of perjury for telling, you know, forgiving incorrect or inaccurate information. And in this case, nobody swore to any facts. Nobody that swore to any facts was impressed upon them to tell the truth. And nobody can be held for penalty of perjury for any of the facts that supported probable cause in this case.
That does make a difference.
And I'm going to reserve time for rebuttal. Thanks.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Lipscomb?
Thank you. May it please the Court. Bill Lipscomb for the United States. I think this court has really sort of latched on to the question here is practicalities and a sense of what the officers here did wrong or right. One of the first things the defendant said is that the officers respected his client's privacy interests in not searching the car immediately. I think they did so more to a higher degree than they needed to, Judge Hinder indicated, they had cause to search the car at the scene. They had cause to search the car when they impounded it, assuming they had an inventory policy, which I don't know a police agency that doesn't, but that's not in the record. They could have searched at that point under the automobile exception. But they went a step further, went to their local judge, and got a warrant. It's not the officer who did the work in the nighttime that led to the arrest. It's the officer who comes in during the day. And he looks at the police report. There's the facts. He goes before his judge. He lays out some facts, because there are actually facts that he adds, which are the defendant was a felon and the date of the felony. But then he incorporates by reference, not very artistically, but incorporates by reference this report, which is attached. The fair, common sense reading of all that is that he intended to swear to the facts that were in that report, that he asked the judge to rely upon them, that it was reasonable for the judge to do that, and that the officers who then went out and searched that vehicle were acting in good faith reliance on the warrant, and there's no misconduct here of any kind for this court to penalize and to penalize society in the process by suppressing the evidence. We'd ask the court to affirm.
So, but if we were to find that the warrant requirement of the Fourth Amendment was complied with here, then that becomes the standard, right? So we won't see any properly sworn affidavits.
I don't think that's the case, Judge. I mean, this was one of those situations, I think, when the federal defender got the case, he looked and went, what the heck did they do, right? He took a shortcut, right? And, you know, the disciplinary process that goes into place begins at that point when that gets done, and the AUSA then calls the officer and says, what the heck happened here, right? Because we don't do things like this, right? We're much more careful than that. You know, typically the language would be something like, I'm making this affidavit on information supplied by other officers, which I believe to be reliable, particularly those in my own department, which is kind of what he said, but not very well. And those facts that I'm relying upon are the following. Instead of that, he takes a shortcut and says, it's in this attached report. That was not well done, right? We concede that. But that, I don't think that goes to oath and affirmation. That goes to whether or not, in reality, the facts in that report are actually incorporated into the affidavit. Because if they're not, if they're just outside, it doesn't swear. There's no probable cause there. It's here. It's outside the affidavit. But even if you found that, even if you found it wasn't incorporated, we still go back to good faith, which is the core of what the magistrate and then the district court, District Judge Griesbach, found as well, that these officers were acting in good faith. They didn't do this as well as they would have if they'd walked into my office or any AUSA's office and sworn out the affidavit. We would have written it. But there's no question here that they were acting in good faith.
Who were these officers?
It was Oconto County Sheriff's officers. So I think Northern Wisconsin, good folks. Okay. No further
questions.
Can't
indict the federal government for that, then, can
we? Well, there are lots of things you can indict the federal government for, not that. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Walk fast, you got a minute.
Just a couple points. I think the government was saying that that there were facts sworn to in the affidavit. The only fact that was provided was just that he was previously a felon. That was a prerequisite. There was no facts. There was no facts in there that provided support for probable cause. And the district court even acknowledged that there were no that the sole basis for supporting probable cause was in the unsworn police report. This is not a case, it's not an issue of whether it was incorporated or not, because nothing was sworn. Regardless of whether it technically was incorporated, nothing was sworn to in the affidavit, other than the fact I'm attaching this police report. This case is not about good faith, it's about deterrence of behavior that we don't want the police to take. It's about deterring situation where there's layers of communication.
Did the attachment of the police report include an oath? I mean, was there any oath at all?
There was no oath in the police report. And I see that I'm out of time. So,
notwithstanding, I'll give you a minute.
Okay, great. We don't want officers to not swear to anything in affidavits they submit for warrants. We don't want to have an officer just hand off a police report to another officer to then go apply for the warrant, and nobody is taken responsible for any of the facts that support probable cause. That's worth deterring.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.